Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
And in that, he started whispering something into my mind over and over when I would start complaining for about a year. But it was the same thing every time. Am I enough?
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Pastor John Burke.
Am I enough? And at first I was mad. I was like, what? I left my engineering career to follow you into ministry. I left that ministry to come plant a church to help reach people. What do you mean, am I enough? Haven't I showed? And then I realized, oh, I guess not. Because the truth is, if God, you know, loving God, loving my family, loving the people who are coming, and even with the difficulties that come, is not enough. God has to do things my way, or I get mad and angry and frustrated with him.
Hear more from John at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
What's the latest news in Paso Robles? It's the grand reopening of the San Paso Truck Stop. The nationally acclaimed cheapest price fueling station in the county is launching its grand opening after a year of historical remodeling restoration. Tired of recent high gas prices? San Paso Truck Stop ranks among the lowest fuel prices in the state. The San Paso Truck Stop has everything you need for busy families and truckers alike. Find out why everyone is traveling to the corner of Wellsona Road and Highway 101. That's the San Paso Truck Stop, open 24/7.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. I suppose the FDA and related agencies have told you enough about what you can and can't eat. You've been badgered enough with what gives rats a tummy ache, so I hope the bureaucrat warriors will not be eavesdropping on what I'm about to tell you. It'll just give them something else to get excited about. We don't need any more food scares, but there is a forbidden fruit, one you may already have eaten, and it has been considered poisonous. But please wait to call your family doctor until after you've heard the rest of the story. This forbidden fruit has been called a love apple. And it does look something like an apple, I suppose, but don't be fooled. It's a member of the deadly nightshade family. Nightshade, as you know, is poison. It wasn't until the middle of the last century that the love apple really became known in the United States. A native of South America, this exotic fruit was used predominantly as an ornament, in the same way we use mistletoe today. And everyone just knew that you would die if you ate a love apple, so nobody tried. Nobody, that is, until Robert Gibbon Johnson. Robert Johnson was what you might call an amateur horticulturalist, a sort of glorified farmer, not quite learned enough to be the one and too wealthy to be the other, but anyway, his home was Salem County, New Jersey. He grew all kinds of weird things on his land, and among them was the love apple. Now, he was a well-traveled man. He may even have had the seeds imported from somewhere. We don't know that. But we do know that he was growing presumably poisonous love apples on his property many years before 1820. Now, Robert Gibbon Johnson just had to be a little eccentric. After all, he did develop quite a crush on the love apple. First, it was a hobby with him. Eventually, it became an obsession. To spread the fame of this dangerous fruit, he sponsored a number of county fairs in New Jersey. The highlight of each of those fairs was first prize for the most outstanding love apple. And soon, women throughout the state were adorning their dining table centerpieces with love apples, along with the gourds and whatnot. But Mr. Johnson still couldn't get anybody to eat one. They're poisonous, everybody said. Nonsense, answered Mr. Johnson. Okay, you try one, they came back. But I eat them all the time, Mr. Johnson insisted. Nobody believed him. And that's when Robert Gibbon Johnson decided to stage a little public demonstration. On the courthouse steps in Salem, he tacked up notices all over town. He sent invitations to a few close friends. He prepared himself on that momentous day to ascend the courthouse steps armed with a deadly love apple. Was he really going to eat that thing, somebody in the crowd wanted to know? Johnson responded with a determined glare. He lifted the love apple high in the air and took a bite and chewed it up and swallowed it. Nothing happened. You know, it must have been pretty embarrassing for all those folks who expected Robert Johnson to fall to the ground foaming at the mouth. But eventually, they forgot about their fears. Many of them even learned to eat the love apple themselves. Now, don't ask me what would happen if that stunt were tried today. Maybe Bob Johnson, as a farmer trying to push a poison product, would have been spotted by government officials and thrown into the clink. Or maybe they just kill a few rats with a steady diet of love apples and then make the fruit forbidden. That's anybody's guess. But it would be a shame, because the love apple's modern-day name is the tomato. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
And welcome back to Sound Off. Again, my name is Eric Gorham. I'm filling in for Karen Vealey. And if you haven't been listening, if you're just joining us in the 1 o'clock hour, we have Renee here with Century 21, Renee Aguilar, and we're talking all kind of all things. We're going through lending. We're going to be going through some staging. We're going through the market. So if you have questions and if you're just tuning in, don't worry about it. If you think we might have went over it, well, we're more than happy to go back over it. And again, the phone lines are open, 238-5775, 238-KPRL. You can text that line too, and we do have a text. We'll be getting to that in a second. But we kind of left with the teaser of how much do you need to save? And, you know, I think I've seen this a lot lately, and I was talking to you about this, you know, as you have parents or grandparents that are trying to give a start, because it's so hard to start here if you don't, you know, if you have money, it's real easy, but a lot of locals don't have that money. They lived there their whole life, and now they're like, man, I can't afford to live here. I don't want to rent forever. What do I need to do? Or how do I help my family member or whatever it may be? So what is something, you know, I know there's probably optimal down the line. So maybe go over some of the options.
That's an interesting question, because that's exactly what got me into real estate. I'm a lifetime local and I have four kids. And my oldest daughter told me one day, Mom, I'll never be able to buy a house here. And I was like, you know, I had been in advertising and worked with a lot of locals, but there was never a real estate agent that came to me and said, all right, you want to help your kid get a house? These are the things, these are the steps, and this is what you need to do. So she is.
I'm going to cut you off we can get the caller real quick, okay, so they don't go away on us. But we'll get right back to that answer. Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in.
Hey, I have a completely different take on realtors. I have a lot of experience, you know, public, private. And realtors are a way to waste a bunch of money. What they're marketing is themselves. 95% of realtors, for example, believe that anything that is being taxed is legal. And that is very, very far from the truth. I've dealt with so many people. It's like, well, the realtor says it's on the county's tax rolls. And it'll be horrible additions. It'll be, you know, converted outbuildings. And I don't think real estate's not really a profession. You take a really simple test, and then you're a professional realtor. So I think it's a great way to waste $50,000 or $100,000. But if you're engaging in the transaction, you're best served by educating yourself.
And I think with any profession, I mean, you can go and say the same thing about an insurance broker, insurance person, you know, somebody selling insurance, somebody selling annuities. I mean, at any profession where you're selling something, there's going to be bad, good. And in the, I would push back on you in this day and age, because there's so many pitfalls you can make. It's picking the right person. And I mean, you can make a mistake that costs you that costs you more than what that commission is in this day and age, very easily, and with the price of real estate. And you know, some people are savvy. Maybe they have good lawyers. So there's different ways to skin the cat. I mean, I can't fully agree with you, but I also have seen some. My first realtor I sued, and they made a mistake. I won. You know, and I'm not saying go sue your realtor, but it happens. People make mistakes. It was also his first sale. You know, and it was my first house back in the day, in the 90s. Yeah. So,
what I say about realtors is the only thing they know is what they don't want to know. Because if you don't know it, you don't have to disclose it. So they're really, see nothing, hear nothing, say nothing. And I just have heard so many bad experiences of people. And I bought my house without a realtor. The only professional service I needed was a title company. They do the work to ensure that, you know, everything is above board. And, you know, a realtor at 6%, I've looked at properties to buy where they say, contact your realtor. I don't go any further because they don't want to deal with anyone who's not operating through a realtor. And, again, I think you just do buyer, seller, and do your homework and save a bunch of money.
All righty, sir. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate that. And I will tell you, I got into a mess that way. Before I bought the house I was just talking about, went in, I won't name names because people would know who I was talking about, who I was buying the house from at that time. It was here in Paso. And put a deposit down, and then found out that half the house was unpermitted. And I was like, no, I'm out. They were building on. They were actually making the garage 2 bedrooms at the time, and a pantry, not a pantry, but, you know, putting in closets or whatever storage. And I remember thinking, like, okay, that's unpermitted, and they had 2 other rooms that were unpermitted. And I ended up going to court to get my deposit back. It took me 6 months because originally the judge did not make a decision. He said he couldn't figure out who to give it to. And then, of course, they started pressuring me for the money because, oh, well, that means you lost. It doesn't mean it lost. It means I didn't win. And then shortly thereafter, the judge actually changed his mind and I got my money back. But it took me 6 months to get my deposit back. That was an escrow. I can't speak. I got a lisp. Anyway, so I think having somebody there to guide you through it, I don't know. You know, it's not the 70s anymore where maybe you can do that. I mean, I don't know. But we do have another call. Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in. Ooh, we lost them. Call back if you like. And but going back, we were right in the middle of your answer.
Well, I love that he called and said that. Okay. Because so many people say that, but they have no idea like what a realtor gets up in the morning and does. So from looking for off-market properties and to help sellers get the most money, like I own the staging company and the cleaning company, because I would go and view other properties that I'm like, oh my gosh, you could get like at least $10,000 or $20,000 more dollars on this property if you just had somebody advise you to do, which I'm not saying that you can't sell a house on your own or buy a house on your own. And if you have the time to research it and do it yourself, then it's fine. But if you need a professional to help, then we're not a waste of money.
Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in the Sound Off.
Hi, thank you very much. Great conversation, great topic, because I have to tell you, probably 90% of the people that I run into have no idea about real estate, how to buy it or whatever. And my main comment is that not everybody on the planet should be an owner. That some people are just simply not meant for it. And even if they have enough money to get in for a down payment on a house, it doesn't mean that they'll be those people who save back a portion of their paycheck every day or every week to for the maintenance that you and I both know is going to come. So I wish that there were more realtors out there that were focused on. And I mean, I understand that realtors are in the business for selling homes, but there are a lot of realtors that lead people into the buying process that should never be there. And that's something I wish would change, but it's not. So I would say that for anybody who's looking to buy a home, do the work. Do your research. And do the work about the buying process and do the work on the realtor you think you're going to choose.
I think that's good advice. Kind of gives us something to lead into, too. So thank you for calling in. I appreciate that.
Sure, you bet.
And is there ever people, I mean, just leading off what she just said, is there people that you go, you know, maybe you need a few more years or maybe this, you know, or I mean, I hate to see is you go into a beautiful neighborhood and somebody just has bought the home, maybe a parent bought them for them, the money doesn't mean anything, and it's the worst house in the neighborhood because they don't care, you know, or whatever it may be, or they just can't afford it. I've seen people get their, it's a great example, but again, I don't want to name people off, but, you know, he inherited a house, beautiful property, ran it into the ground, lost it, you know, and it was paid for, but he couldn't pay the taxes, you know.
Yeah, there's definitely those situations. Even sadly, there was a lady that passed away and she had a few adult children living in the house and they had some special needs, not like super severe, but definitely not a good choice to be a homeowner. Like there is maintenance that you have to keep up on that, you know, you get a leak in the roof and you don't take care of it and it ends up costing you way more money than it would if somebody that just takes care of their property.
Right. So. And I think, you know, the previous caller before that, I think there are people that, you know, take advantage. Every industry has it. I don't care if it's construction. I don't care what it is. There's people that are just there for the money and, you know, they're not helping their clients. They're not helping their the people the way they should. But good afternoon. We have another call. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, my pleasure. Hey, great conversation. Speaking of unpermitted, my wife and I bought a house 14 years ago, and it's out of city limits. And on it, it was a nice, you know, stick-built house and then a modular on it that we knew at the time was not permitted. And we were just recently trying to help out our kids by selling our property and expand and help, you know, down payment for them. And the non-permitted modular, it's hard. One, number one, hard to advertise as a usable. It's kind of like you advertise it as storage. What avenue do you suggest would be the best way to go through to get it permitted? I mean, we're paying property tax on the square footage. Hesitate to just call county and have an inspector out without figuring out if it's actually possible to get it permitted. Do you have a suggestion on the best way to go about that?
I would talk to a contractor first, because if you have a contractor come in and give you some advice on what it would take for a permit to get approved, and then you know what you're dealing with before you tell on yourself.
And I will tell you, I've dealt with this many times, you know, here in the Central Coast, and it's interesting because generally they want to reverse engineer. So if it was built right, you take pictures during the process and you ask for forgiveness later. And you're saying it was already there, but so you probably don't have those pictures because you know, but I know people that have done that. I'm like, take your pictures, because if the county knocks on your door, you can show them how it was built and they can say that was the code or that wasn't the code. Depending on the size, this is basically a dwelling, or you like to sell it as a dwelling?
We would like to, it would improve, according to a realtor, if this was permitted, it would improve the value of the property about $250,000, just right, because it would be another 1,000 square foot. It was actually a mobile home that was put in.
Oh.
And, we have the title for the mobile home and all that, but apparently the people who put it in did not permit it when they put it in. It was for, you know, their parents to live in, kind of thing.
I would think, Renee, that might be a little easier, though, yeah, than a house. I think you may want to just talk to either a land use consultant or a contractor and say, what permits am I missing?
Especially with all the changes, with them allowing all the ADUs, that sounds like that would qualify and not really be that big of a deal.
So, yeah, you might be looking at spending a little bit of money, but it sounds like the return would be considerable.
Yeah, if you built it, then it's a different story. But if it's just a mobile.
What if it had been added on to? Like, because there was a room added on to it.
Was it like a sunroom or is it or actual?
Yeah, like an extra bedroom.
An extra bedroom or a sunroom? Like, is it completely enclosed?
It's a completely enclosed bedroom, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you can just take off that square footage when you're doing it, but...
I would talk to... I would get with somebody...
I think that's worth it to get that value.
Because, yeah, why leave that on the table? And even if it costs you $5,000, if you're going to get, you know, 200 back, it's a good investment.
Yeah, I've talked, and then even in my own neighborhood, there are a couple of people in the same situation, you know, that where there were stick-built homes put on their property that weren't permitted. They rent them out, you know, and people live in them. They're perfectly fine houses, but then when they go to sell or they look at the value of the property, they can't really add it, even though we're paying taxes on the square footage, you know, which...
Right. Well, yeah, I would definitely, I wish I could say, go talk to this person. I don't know if you know anyone you could recommend, but I would, you know, there are some good contractors. There's some good, even some architects may know the answers to this. I just don't want to waste your time. I'd do a little search it around, figure out who you need to talk to, and then go from there.
Yeah, and sometimes if you have a cash buyer, they're not as upset about it not being permitted. So sometimes you could still get that value put into it. But if somebody needs to do a loan on the property, then they're going to want it permitted.
Right. Well, when we bought it, we could only get a loan based on the appraised value. And since it wasn't permitted, it dropped the appraised value. That was a benefit in our favor. And so we paid them a cash bonus for that, but it was not nearly what it was actually worth, you know, as a dwelling.
All righty, sir. Well, yeah, I'd love to hear what happens with this. Let me know. And thanks for calling in.
Okay. Thank you.
And real quick, I'm going to change the subject because we've had a texter for a long time and we've gotten sidetracked off of here. But we did have a question. I guess it's not going to be real quick. We're going to break. So we'll tease with the texter. And if you've made that text, we'll be answered your question here in about 2 minutes. Stay tuned.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages closing at session lows with the Dow trading below the 50,000 mark. The sell-off in artificial intelligence and other momentum stocks continued today as investors digested inflation data for May. As expected, inflation accelerated during the month, annual CPI inflation spiking to 4.2%. That is the highest level in 3 years, reflecting the war-fueled surge in global energy prices. The hot CPI reading strengthens the Fed's case to stay on hold in terms of interest rates. Middle East tensions hitting investor sentiment with oil prices spiking and climbing above $90 a barrel. The Dow winners, Coca-Cola, Chevron, and Travelers. The Dow decliners, Caterpillar, Honeywell, and NVIDIA. The Dow down 954 points. The Nasdaq lower by 509. S&P 500 down 120. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
You know, in the U.S., there is a break-in in this country every 26 seconds. But when intruders step near a Simply Safe home security system, they step up. They have AI security cameras. They have Active Guard outdoor protection. They have their outdoor camera series 2, advanced AI alerts, and help deter them. Right now, 50% off your custom system when you go to simplysafe.com/Hannity. Remember, there's no safe like Simply Safe.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
At Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak. Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
And we're back with Sound Off again. My name's Eric Gorham, filling in for Karen Veeley. We have Renee Aguilar here from Century 21. Why don't you tell everybody again how to get a hold of you?
805-709-3415.
And so we had a few texts, and I'm going to make the first texter wait a little bit longer, because the second texter, I think, was texting in regards to the last caller, and you know, this could be an issue too, because I'm sure, and I don't know your property, if it's next to your house and it's tied into your current septic system, if you have one. I'm guessing you do. It sounds like you're on property, so or if somebody built a septic system for that mobile. But that would be something the county would want permitted too, if it's not already. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Somebody texted in with that, but we have a question. Can I do an appraisal loan, or can I do a no appraisal loan for $80K on my home worth $500K principal residence?
Definitely. Yes. There's several types of loans out there that we can,
I guess,
get
you have to have the equity, but yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah, depends on how much you owe on that $500,000 house.
$650,000. Right.
Even there's desktop appraisals where it's not that in depth on going out and viewing the property. They just kind of pull it up from the street and see what kind of value that they can give it. But that an appraisal should never be something that stops you from being able to pull the money out that you want.
All right. Would you get a better loan if you got the appraisal? Are they going to be, the bank going to be more secure? Or are they going to?
Just depends on the loan program. There's only about 150 different banks that I work with when it comes to picking the right loan for my client.
Right. Yeah. So okay, hopefully that answers your questions. If you got more, don't feel free to text in or call. Yeah, and what type of loan do you think fits that? I know there's a lot, but just overall, if you had to say this loan or this loan might be great for you.
Well, super easy is just to get a HELOC, so that if you're not even using the whole 80K, you're not paying any interest on the part that you're not using. And
right.
Pretty simple.
And these are, you know, and a lot of this, you know, if they called you, if they called any of our sponsors, they could probably like help set this up.
Yeah, not all realtors and real estate companies. Like, the reason I work for Century 21 is because I can also do lending. And it's just much easier to structure a deal when you're the one looking at the property and you know all the reports about it and you know exactly what you want to avoid
right.
when it comes to qualifying for that loan. So, that is a definite benefit with Century 21.
So I'm going to roll this back a little ways, because I don't think we ever figured out how much somebody needs to save completely. We've been cut off a few times in that conversation. And I know there's a lot of answers to this question, but let's just kind of maybe broadly go over it, because at some point, you know, we'll run out of time here. We still have a little bit, but I don't want to get into anything too deeply, but what's your thoughts?
Was the down payment?
Down payment, yeah.
Okay, so a down payment should never stop you from not buying. Now, the lady that mentioned, there's not everybody should be a homeowner. I agree with that. And the guy that mentioned, hey, not every realtor is an added value to your transaction. I agree with that. But I do not agree with the fact that if you don't have money saved, that you should not buy a house, because I just closed on one. I think they came up with like $150. We did 3 down payment really? Assistance programs, and we got some seller credits in there. Yeah. So if you're making decent money and your credit's not horrible, you don't have a bunch of debt, and you're looking to buy a house to start You know, that equity is pretty nice on the Central Coast. Everybody that you know that bought a house here 15 years ago, they go, there's no way I'd be able to live here if I didn't buy a house back then. There's no way I could afford these prices now. So for the people that are just starting out, that's going to be them in 15 years. Don't let a down payment stop them.
And I know there are some programs that don't require, I mean, there's one through, I think the feds through ag, I can't remember the name of it. I actually got approved for one years ago and I didn't use it because it wasn't the amount that I needed. But it was, they don't want, I mean, it is a no down payment. They don't take a down payment, period. And the rates were great. And I can't remember, but it's through like the Department of Ag or something. And I'd have to look. I just can't remember.
Like U.S. Bank offers one to doctors that it's complete white glove service where you hardly have to do anything. I mean, especially if you're already banking with them. Seslock offers one with no mortgage insurance, even with no down payment, which that's usually what the problem is when you have no down payment. Then you have that mortgage insurance. And that's why people say come up with 20% down. But the banks are realizing that and knowing that they're losing customers that would be good potential buyers, and they're making changes to offer those programs so that you don't have to worry about that.
All right. And what, when you're talking, I know this, I mean, when we're talking finance, there's a lot that goes into this. Every individual is going to be different. You know, I mean, there's a lot of cash buyers here on the Central Coast, in California in general, especially along the coast. But if we're looking more that, you know, what you kind of consider that the American dream family, they have enough, they have some kids, whatever, what kind of financing, and they have, maybe they have the 20% or they have close to it or over it. What are you usually looking for, you know, as far as that goes? And are you helping with insurance? Do you give recommendations? Because that's all part of it. People don't realize that, you know, your payment goes up quite a bit. And I always had separate insurance. I never had it folded in. I know a lot of people like it folded in and their taxes folded in. I mean, is that case by case or do you have a general rule of thumb?
Well, I always use John at Smartway Insurance. He's a broker, and he'll look across 50 different insurance companies, seeing what they have to offer and what kind of coverage that you need, and give you the best price. So it's nice to have somebody here local that I can work with that answers all those questions for me. And like if you go to Allstate or Farmers or whoever else and you only have their policies, the insurance broker does open it up so that you have many people to pick from, and definitely in the fire zones, you.
Right. Yeah. No, exactly. And somebody that knows. And I will say, like, quite honestly, I'm going to take this back to my recent car insurance problems here. Not problems, but, you know, nobody likes going to get insurance. I don't care what it is. Life insurance, home insurance is not.
Well, you should have let me know you were looking for insurance. I would have set you up with my broker, so I'm sorry.
But I ended up at a broker, and literally, well, I guess the catch is in the first 2 months, the deductibles double. So if I can't get an accident for another month, not that I get in accidents, but, you know, I end up saving 50% a month.
Nice.
Like literally. Yeah. And it was the only one that low. Well, there was another one, but it didn't have the coverages I wanted. It, like, it was just bare bones. Good luck, you know?
Yeah. So it's nice to have a local that you can just talk to, and it gives you those little, because when you go online, they're not going to say, hey, by the way, la, la, la.
Right.
Yeah. Where John is like, oh no, if you just do this, if you just clear this stuff from the side of the house and, you know, we give them the certification, then we can totally help with the fire insurance.
All right. And then, so how competitive is it out there? If you're a buyer, how competitive are you, like having to scrap through bids? Are you getting beat up a little bit? Just depends on what you want to bring. Cause I know a few people out there and they're trying to find deals. So then they're getting beat up a little bit because they're trying to lowball offers and looking for that one. And I don't know if the market's sustaining that right now. It doesn't seem like it with the people I know, but they're also looking on the coast, not over here, a little inland.
Well, it all depends on how good your realtor is. If they really know what they're doing, they will price that property so it is a competitive price. What happens is if you get a few people that own a property and you can't get them to agree on the price that you've told them. I mean, we're not just making up prices. We're showing you other comparatives that this is what it's going for. So I'm sorry if you want it to sell for $50,000 more and it doesn't make sense, because it sits on the market for a few weeks and it's priced too high, you're not going to have good results. So the most important thing is to come out the gate at the right price, and then you're going to get it sold quickly.
All right. And are you seeing any sweet spots, whether that's for the new family or the upper end homes? Is there like a spot that people are looking at right now as far as price? They're gravitating towards a certain price range or certain neighborhoods or whatever it may be. There's a lot that goes into that question, I know.
Well, it is very expensive for new home buyers to live here. So they are moving up to Paso and Atascadero. The North County is the new option for them. And then they'll just drive to work down in San Luis because at least they can own a house.
Right. And there's a lot of houses going in Paso right now.
Yeah.
You know, the inventory just keeps going up. I mean, I think, I don't know how many houses they've finished out there, but what is there, 1,400 homes or something yeah. going in? And there's not really anything like that in the county going on and until... You know, maybe they get to the Dana Reserve, but that doesn't seem like it's going to be anytime soon.
Voila. Yeah. That's a controversial topic, right? There. But there's some great prices in Atascadero, and you can just start out with a condo and an apartment or something that's.
Yeah, and Atascadero is a different kind of city because it was, you know, it hasn't technically been a city for that long. It was county for years, so a lot of weird things happened out there, and you can find it. Sometimes you can find these little funky eclectic, I can't speak today, houses, etc. That kind of turns you. I know people that do that, love it. They have their little weird house that I'd be like in there like, oh, Cal Poly literally, I have a friend that Cal Poly students built this house, you know. And then he bought it and got a good price and they've been working on it. But there's a lot of like different things. It's interesting. Atascadero is an interesting city. Paso, I think, is a little harder, I would guess, to get into because it doesn't have that like eclectic vibe, and there's not septic systems downtown, and Tascadero is just different because it used to be, it wasn't always incorporated, and Paso's been incorporated for a very long time.
But Paso is amazing for families. Mm-hmm. I know when I was having my third kid, this was exactly where I wanted to be. The downtown park is amazing. There's restaurants, shopping. Everybody's super friendly. When you go down to Pismo area, it's more retirement. So mm-hmm. when you're trying to, you know, the softball game and going to church and going to all those activities, it is, you know, it's a little bit nicer to be up here and get to hang out with people your age.
And then let me ask you this. Over in Pismo, I know you do a lot over there in South County. Is that area still, I mean, it's always been heavily Valley owned. Is that still the case? Are they still coming in buying homes? Are they holding on to them? And I'm not saying that's a good or bad thing. I think Pismo's not Pismo without that influence. I mean, half the restaurants are owned from people from Bakersfield and Fresno. I mean, I think it's been a good influence over there. I know other people say, well, the dunes and whatever. But I mean, I think overall, Pismo area was built by a lot of the Valley. I mean, from day one. People love the vacation over there.
Exactly. And everybody came over from the Valley. I mean, it's huge. But a lot of them have it be a second home. But I think they're all wanting to retire there. I mean, it's just so cool. And the weather alone and the air quality compared to being over in the Valley. I mean, they're having a hard time living over there. So when they've rented out a house to somebody else that's over here that can't afford to buy, and they've waited all the years and come over, there's a huge market of the Valley there, yeah.
So, and I know every single question I'm asking you is subjective, right? Because it's the house, it's the people, it's, you know, how, you know, some sellers want more than their house is worth, but whatever it may be, some buyers want to lowball too much, so they might sit there and take forever to buy a house. But what do you think the average time, if I said, I want to sell my place, and I have one in downtown Pismo, Paso, Templeton, wherever it may be, not out where I live, out in the boonies, because that's a different, I mean, anyway, it doesn't matter. How long, on average, do you think before that house closes right now, in the market right now? Just so people have an idea, if they are thinking of selling, what they might expect.
Yeah, things are staying on the market about 35, 45 days.
That's not bad.
So it's not bad. If you get it priced right and you have it staged and ready to go, yeah, it's not going to sit there for a long time.
So then what's the steps? We kind of start talking about this. Just get a hold of someone. Get a hold of a realtor. Get a hold of Renee Aguilar here and start the process. And so you're thinking like 30 to 40 days is a good time. That's what things are going for right now.
Yeah, start out with a strategy. Okay, do you want to do any repairs on it? Do you, like, let's get some inspections done. Let's see what we're looking at. Are we looking at a $25,000 roof that needs to be put on? Are we looking at plumbing that's destroyed? And then price it appropriately. But look, we have to get all of our facts together first and then see where you want to go, how much money you want to put into it, if you just want to do it as is, how we're going to market it.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that's a good plan. I mean, that's a good reason just to hire a realtor right there is to have a plan going forward. This is what we're going to do. I mean, you can, like I did. I tried to do a personal. I ended up going through a realtor when I actually did buy my first house, but the first one was a mess, to be honest with you, and it ended up in court. And you know, then two people that were probably fine, we never talked again, you know what I mean? Because I kind of knew the person I was buying the house. They weren't friends, but a business acquaintance, and I didn't even know that going into buying the house, you know.
Well, they say, I think there's like 97% of realtors only sell like one house a year. So there's definitely a difference if you're hiring somebody that they're a full-time realtor and they're dealing with this all the time and they're actually a coach and a good teammate to have on your side, as opposed to somebody that is, you know, working at Home Depot and they just have a few minutes to spend with you.
All right. And I think that that might lead us into like our last teaser when we come back. It'll be the last segment. But, you know, maybe we should go over how do you interview your realtor.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with that. Again, if you have questions, 238-5775, 238-KPRL. We look forward to hearing from you.
Do you use propane? At Delta Liquid Energy, you can pre-buy your winter propane gallons to lock in your price. Fuel prices fluctuate, so with Delta Liquid Energy, you can take advantage of potential pre-buy savings. To learn more, contact Delta Liquid Energy before June 30th. Family-owned and operated, call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Celebrate the 4th of July and America's 250th birthday with your friends, family, and neighbors at Barney Schwartz Park in Paso Robles, Saturday, July 4th, starting at 4. Enjoy the Family Fun Zone, live music by Garden Party and Steppin' Out, and a food truck zone all day long until the stunning fireworks show at dark. Parking and admission are free, so come celebrate America at Barney Schwartz Park on July 4th in Paso Robles. Find out more at prcity.com/July 4th. That's prcity.com/July and the number 4.
And welcome back to Sound Off, everybody. We are in our last segment here, talking about all things real estate today. It's mostly home, I guess. We're not really getting too much into commercial or agricultural. We kind of touched on it, maybe. And I do want to say, before we answer this question, and the question is, how to interview your realtor and the questions you should ask, etc. I will say, you know, I'm going to name three companies right now. I'm going to name Renee's company right now with Century 21. We have two other sponsors that I know, and I know Seth personally. He's a great friend of mine. So Peak Realty, you know, Remax Success. These are companies that have been around forever. They have good people working at them. Seth, you know, he's out there on his own, but he is part of this community, city councilman. You know, he really cares. And for years, he's somebody I've called just to get advice. Like, hey, I got a friend, or hey, I got this, or can you look into this property for me, or whatever it is. And these people know what they're talking about. You know what you're talking about. I would just tell you, I gave you three great people to interview. But let's go into what that interview process should look like, Renee.
Well, full-time realtor, we go to classes all the time. So whether it's the summit meeting or the mayor's lunch or tax laws or ADUs, or they're constantly educating us. And so we have advice that we can give you that somebody that doesn't really do it all the time or hasn't gone through the process.
So you mean when I say my Uncle Joe's a realtor, you should hire him.
Exactly.
And, you know, he sells one to two houses every 5 years. And
yeah, because we generally all have family. Somebody in the family that is a realtor.
Right.
I mean, like he said, it's an easy test. And I can tell you that like 0% of what you take on the test is an actual real life thing. So you learn as you go. And like Century 21, they're amazing with doing the mentoring and offering so many different this. Like they flew me out to Michigan and I did a 3-day training. Like I'm constantly in training, keeping up to date, so that when you have questions that I have answers for you.
So I guess one question would be to me, like if I was going to go hire a realtor, like how much do you sell? Like how many houses have you sold this year? I mean, it seems like a good starting place. You know, I sold one, or I haven't sold any this year, or I've sold 10. You know? And kind of find out what their resources are, what they have to offer. I mean, I'm all I'm trying to get at is gives, you know, people some good advice, good questions to ask. If they call you tomorrow, what should they ask?
Yeah, so there is realtors that, you know, they sell 250 houses a year. So what exactly are you looking for? Because Just like when you go to buy a car, okay, what kind of a car dealer do you want? Do you want somebody that's very aggressive and down your throat, or do you want somebody that can sit down and have some coffee with you and ask you what your needs are and help you meet your needs? Do you want somebody that has a huge team? So every person is different. So it really depends. I always say, like, picking your realtor is like picking your date, because there's a lot of great dates out there, but do you really want that one?
You're not looking for Casanova, I guess, as your realtor.
Yeah, you want somebody that you can understand easily. And there's going to be a lot of communication back and forth between you and your realtor. And you want to know that when you text them or ask them a question. And real estate does not happen between 9 and 5. So you have to have a realtor that answers the phone at 10 o'clock at night and says, you know, I'm stressing out. Can I make this payment? What should I do? And they can give you some advice and help calm you down and get you where you need to be.
Okay. All right. I like that. So what is there anything interesting going on? Is there little corridors that people are popping into that seem more interesting? You know, well, every once in a while, people will slip into an older neighborhood and it's starting to get fixed up. Or is there any little hidden gems like that that people with a little foresight are seeing, that you're seeing trends in?
Well, Oceano is not a city yet. And so if you're looking to purchase for the VRBO or Airbnb, that is a much easier place to be able to do that in.
You get those county rules.
Yes, because like Grover, we just viewed a house this last week. And yeah, they were all set up and they could do it. But when you sell the property, that does not go with the sale of the property. So if you're waiting on a wait list of 50 or 60 people in order to turn that into an investment property with a VRBO or Airbnb, then you are waiting a long time and you're making that payment in the meantime.
Right. Okay. And then with, people doing the Airbnb thing, do you see a lot of that from out of state? Is that locals? Is that people that are like, oh, I got money and I'm going to move and I'm good, but I can afford to keep this house, or this is my way to get that house when I move here? Or what? I know all of that's probably within the ballpark, but what do you mostly see?
The locals are definitely jumping on that bandwagon, especially when they're just down the street from it and they know that they can go check on it. And it's so easy to have the property taken care of when it comes to the cleaning. Everybody's got enough businesses around here that you're not over there doing everything yourself. But definitely locals, almost everyone that you talk to that invest in, that owns their home or invest in real estate, that's the new way to go.
Okay. All right. And then what's your predictions coming up? Anything, you know, I guess we keep talking about trends, but any predictions in the next 6 to 12 months of what the market's going to look like? And I think that eventually things will settle down with Iran. I know the thing's still off and on. We have elections right now. We're going into election season. Sometimes we see certain things manipulated by the government to make a certain party look better or whatever. But any predictions of what's to come?
Usually when you have an election coming up, the interest rates start looking better. They
right.
Make everybody happy and get them into a new house and make it a little bit easier for them to get there.
All right. So if we ever, actually, we got a call. Let's take that. And good afternoon. And thanks for calling in the Sound Off.
Yeah, I used to be an attorney, and I used to do probates a lot. If you go buy a house that's in probate, sometimes you can get a real good deal because they're anxious to get them sold. And so you can look at the probates, the estate sales that are going on, and pick up a bargain sometimes.
That sounds like good advice.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and that's a good point to other people that actually own their house. I just was doing a refi for a couple, and they had their will set up like 30 years ago, and they just assumed that the house was in it, and we were doing a reverse mortgage for them, and it turns out it wasn't even in the will. So it is good to find a probate sale, because by then people are just so worn out on waiting for this to be able to be sold, especially it's usually kids right. that just want to split the money. But on the other hand, if you own property, make sure to double check that everything's included.
Yeah, the better way is you're gonna than a will is to put it in a trust, of course. Then you can have more control when you die. Sometimes avoid probate. But anyway, there is another trick you can use. If you get an elderly couple that just wants to stay in their house until they die, and they know exactly how they want that house to go, maybe one child, two child, or whatever, they can do a life estate And that works real well. Check with an attorney about what a life estate consists of, and they can say probate and a challenge in a trust.
All righty, sir. I think you gave us some good stuff to talk about. Thank you.
Okay. Thank
you. And, you know, what's interesting is, you know, one to the point of one of the first callers, you know, when you find a good realtor, somebody with experience, et cetera, they're coming with a team. You know, and that team may not all be realtors. You know, you have a team of people you work with. You know, I'm sure after so many years, you're like, oh, I've had to contact this lawyer and I've had to contact this lawyer. And you all of a sudden you're like, well, I have my team. You know, you guys are all working independently of each other. But, you know, oh, I know John so-and-so. He's a great lawyer and he can answer every one of your questions, or he can set this up, or, you know, cash buyer, they want to get that into a will, or they want to get it into what he's talking about. You know, we have two different things there. To avoid probate, etc., when you, or cleaners, or I mean, there's just a whole gamut of things that come with that you can help set your customers up with.
It's a huge issue when it comes to realtors, because if I didn't have all the affiliates that I work with, there's no way I could do this, especially when I'm doing the loan and I have an outbuilding that the appraisal says that thing's going to fall. So I called my contractor from Paso and he came down and he checked it out and I had him fill out a form. Had another doctor that they needed the numbers to say it wasn't going to affect the business. Well, a CPA wouldn't write it. So then you work with a tax advisor. So you have to have everybody in your pocket and you have to know that you can call them and trust them and work with them. There's three different attorneys that I work with and all for different circumstances. And so that's definitely a benefit of having a realtor.
Nice. Yeah. And yeah, it is that team that I think people have to realize that can come with it. And that's the importance of doing that little interview at the process too. Make sure that person can help you out. Make sure, you know, I used to sell insurance. People would be like, I can't figure it out. Did you call your agent? What do you mean? They sold me the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you're sitting here complaining that they're not helping you, that's his job.
Yeah.
You know, 2 years later, after he sold you that plan, it's still his job. Or, you know, when a loved one dies and it's life insurance, you know, people sit there and they'll bang their head. Where was it? Where was it? Call your insurance. Call your realtor. Call that person. Because, you know, I know when I did real, you're creating lifetime customers, lifetime friends a lot of times through that. And, you know, to me, I'm all about relationships. I'm all about, you know, that's how I've succeeded in business, is making relationships with every vendor, every client that I can, et cetera. And being able to call them 2 years later, being able to call them and say, hey, you messed up. And you know how fast things get fixed when you have those relationships.
Yeah, like I have a house on the market right now and all the owners are over in the valley. How are they going to know which HVAC guy to call, which roofer to call, which electrician to call, I mean, they have no idea. So if I don't work with these people and see them every week at the meetings and ask them questions and say, hey, this, let me pick your brain, let me do this, then I'm no benefit to them. So that's right. Why, you know, they think realtors are just sit at home and wait for a call, but no.
So let me ask you this. Is there a deal that, whether it's lately, whenever it may happen, that you're just like, that one sticks out to you, is the one you're proud of, the one you're like, oh, I made that happen for these people, whatever it may be?
Okay, so there was a refi, and he's a single dad, and we bought him a few acres, and he doesn't own the company, but he gets paid really good, but his mom had bought a house under his name. So the sister was paying in cash. And then there was, you know, they weren't sure about the ADU, if it was permitted. And it was just all over the place. I am telling you, that loan, there's no way anybody else could have structured it to make that deal close, because it was like $270 for debt to income ratio that barely passed at the end. But still working with the insurance guy, you know, of course it had a pond on the property. So then we have to get flood insurance and, you know, it's in the country and we need fire insurance. So you got to get those insurance numbers down. You got to be able to knock some things off. You got to get rental income to count. Yeah. So you get very creative out there.
Right. All right. All right. And we are going to wind down a little bit. And before we do that, why don't you just like get all your information out, your name, your website, phone number.
Yeah, so my name is Renee Aguilar. You can call me at 805-709-3415 or hit me up on my website, reneeaguilar.com.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate you coming in. I think we made it through. We actually did an hour and a half.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty good, I think. Job. But I think it was a good show. Thanks again. And tomorrow, Karen will be back. I'm actually not sure who her guest is. I should have asked. But listen in tomorrow, and thanks for listening today.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.